104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
Good evening, everyone.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
Now, good evening and welcome, everyone.
Yeah, welcome. Appreciate our sponsors.
I forgot to hit the live button. It's all on me. If it's a mistake, it's probably me anyway.
We do it all the time.
Yeah, it's whatever. If you're listening, thank you for listening.
Exactly.
We'll have some guests on here in a few minutes, but we do have to recap the football game from last week. And
Powell County Pirates played host to Betsy Lane, the Bobcats, and Betsy Lane ended up winning 30-20 was the final score. Things didn't start off very well for the Pirates, and at that point, once they get behind, it's so hard for them to play catch up. And even though they outscored Betsy Lane
second half.
In the second half, it was too much of a deficit to overcome.
Yeah, and it was again. I go back to a couple plays. You know, the first drive Powell County had could have had a score, but it was called back due to a silly
personal foul
holding penalty downfield about 30 yards away from the runner and who had scored a touchdown, and that was called back. And then a couple penalties after some other on some key downs were put Powell County in a little bit of a bind on some drives. So again, it's just to me lack of discipline when on some of those plays. You just got to maintain control and composure. And if you've got a block that's 30 yards away from the play, there's no use to keep driving that block.
You're exactly right. And unfortunately, it's been those types of penalties all season long that have been detrimental for them. Had those types of plays not happened throughout the season, I don't know what their record would have ended up being.
Maybe two games.
But still,
a chance to playoffs.
Correct. And at that point, though, those moments were always momentum changers. Mm-hmm. The Pirates would be moving the ball, and all of a sudden you get a hold or a personal foul, and you push it back, and then you don't get the first down, or a touchdown is negated because of a penalty. It was those little things consistently throughout all the season, throughout the whole season, that was detrimental. Again, it just caused them to finish 2-8. One was a forfeit. Western Hills for an improper player.
I thought at first when I first knew that, I thought, well, it's not that big of a deal. We would have got beat anyway. But knowing the score and the result, not remembering the player, whether he was a key player in that game or not, I guess it was a one score game. So
28-24.
It could have been a factor.
Yeah, it could have been.
So I guess we'll take the win and go with it and be 2-8 and be happy about it. It's if a team does play an ineligible player, they should have paid the consequences. And on the scoreboard, you remember the game you lost, and but again, you get a win later. It doesn't normally feel as well when you get that win later.
No, you're right, and it's still unfortunate that they were in that game as well. Yep. At Western Hills, and again, those penalties there were costly for them to come up short.
Late drive, timeouts early that you didn't have to take, maybe.
And that's kind of another little detrimental thing that they do as well. They take timeouts early, let's say even in the second half. First play of the drive. You're coming out after half, and all of a sudden you don't have the right personnel, and you have to burn a timeout. But then later on, when you're driving in the fourth quarter with a chance to win, you need that timeout in your pocket because now you don't have those timeouts. You've already burnt them, and now you run out of time, basically, because you're so methodical and slow with your offense.
And I get at the time they needed a timeout, but, you just can't afford penalties when you have the type of offense we run. It's not going to get you a lot of yardage normally on plays, so it's a grinded-out offense, and when you put yourself in the hole, then it's – obviously, you understand the timeouts. It's just some of those shouldn't happen.
Agree. While I'm thinking about it real quick, the seniors on the team, only four seniors. will graduate this year, so a bulk of the team coming back. Logan Amberge, Cole Nobles, Trevor Brown, and Tyson Edwards. They'll definitely be missed, that's for sure. Definitely impact players.
Yeah, I'll play.
But at the same time, with what's coming up at the middle school, not that they'll be playing by any means, but
well,
with what's coming up for the future, they're on some pretty solid ground.
After watching the Skidmore kid last week, I think he has a chance to maybe get right into that starting lineup.
He did, and Coach Jones kind of alluded to that, realizing that Aiden Larrison, that's not his position. He's more effective on the wing or in the backfield. So realizing that Brady Skidmore has that talent, maybe steps in, but then you have TJ Strange, who's a sophomore in front of him, who did pretty well coming in at times as far as a quarterback. So
I think, though, like if TJ, I'm not knocking TJ because I think he would do a good job as a receiver or another back. I think that TJ would also fill that role. But if he was going to fill that role, I think it would happen this year. Because he could move Larson back to that tailback, put TJ into that quarterback position, because he looked pretty good over at West. That was a West Carter when he played a little bit. So, again, I thought he looked very effective. But, again, what I saw out of Skidmore last week, 4 years with that kid at quarterback could make a difference for this team.
Yeah, and even as far as potentially opening up the passing game.
Correct.
I think
TJ could do that as well. But
sure.
I just think Skidmore's arm right now is, and he's a bigger kid, and I think he maybe could handle it. He's going to have to still put some meat on his bones. He's going to have to lift the weights in the offseason and do a lot of hard work. But I think that, there are freshmen who will play, as TJ did this year. It's just, we watched Manus at Estill County as a freshman get the start. Estill County's in the playoffs. They won. I think they were 5-5. It worked out. That kid's going to be pretty good in the future. So, and your team may be better for it. So sometimes if you're down and you're going to rebuild or retool, do it young and try to learn from it. Remember when, Nate Skidmore was one of the backs. He got the start as a freshman. And after 4 years, he was pretty dang good.
Yeah, rushed for over 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, too, as far as the offense, let's say that if they do open it up and go with some of those receivers, the way that Skidmore was throwing it, he has an accurate arm. And obviously
and
it's a timing pattern as far as your receivers, but their timing, the way that they were operating, and realizing this group of eighth graders will be coming up, as we mentioned before as well in our other broadcast, hopefully they stick around for the 4 years. We need
teams like this to stick
around. The collective, you can't have players just kind of come and go and drop in and drop out. They need to stick around for the full 4 years.
This is a negative of success. A team can do really well at the middle school level and be satisfied with what their accomplishments were. If that's the case, I don't know why we're playing the games. To me, again, middle school is all about a feeder program, building your high school. If that's not what they're about, then we're putting too much emphasis on winning at the middle school level. If that makes any sense. It's not a knock, it's just a statement.
But the success at the middle school doesn't necessarily equate to success at the high school, because you have players that drop out, regardless of sport.
Correct.
It doesn't matter, basketball, football, baseball,
any sport.
Those players, for whatever reason, start to drop out. Maybe it's the amount of commitment. Maybe they decide to get into other things. Whatever it is, collectively, that unit doesn't stick together, and then all of a sudden you're expecting there to be success, and you're just like, oh, well, wait a minute. These key players that were, there years ago were not
these
around.
These guys we've got here with us may be able to answer most questions a bit later on, because these, I know one of them was a multi-sport athlete. You don't play one, right? It's tough now in high school to play as a male anyway, because the girls seem to find a way to get it done. So for the guys, you don't see a lot of three-way sport guys. You see a lot of two-sport guys, but not a lot of three-sport guys. It's just too much work, too much of a grind. Season's just too long, and these coaches just want you year-round now. I'm just picking on them.
But on one hand, what you said is kind of true, though, because if you're not conditioning and practicing during the off season, when are you taking the time to get better? Right,
well,
and you can't just sit there thinking that all of a sudden come July 15th, we're going to put it together. You needed to do something prior to July in order to get yourself prepared and get yourself ready, regardless of sport.
But our guest tonight is a perfect segue to that, because these guys had a tremendous season, rolled right into cross country, made the state. If you can get work in one sport and helps you in another, then you can make that transition. We've got to help each other out sport to sport and do those things, because it can make these kids successful when you do that. So this is a good baby segue in to our next guest. We'll take a break, come back, and have some of the boys' cross-country coaches, players, in for an interview.
Are you considering a new car loan, a consolidation loan, or a loan to cover some unexpected expenses? My name is Angela Rogers. I am a consumer lender with Whitaker Bank in Stanton. And as a part of your community, I am here to help you understand the best options for you today and in the future. Give me a call at 606-663-2283. Let me show you what Uniquely Kentucky means.
Whitaker Bank, Uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. I didn't do much of a teaser before the break, but again, we've got, I guess, assistant coach Mark Ventura with us now, boys cross country coach, who just took a group to the state tournament. So tell us a little bit about the group first.
Yeah, so this will be the first year that we had a full soccer team at cross country state. Last year, we took a group of them. We also had a couple of other runners that were here on the cross country team the whole season, but this year we had full soccer team that was out there, and they killed it. They did a really good job.
Yeah, we had talked about it. I didn't realize that they all five were soccer. We got to look at what. So wait a minute, they are all five soccer players. So that was kind of a cool little transition. So How did that work out? Like with Bernie, or I guess really their season was over. So Did those guys get to practice? Get to run and do some training for distance running for cross country during the season?
We had about a week and a half prior to Regents of training.
So the running pretty much for soccer had them acclimated.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, they after they got done with their season, most of them took like a few days off to a week off. And then we had one full week, I would say, before Regents. And then after Regents, then another week of training before state.
So just to be real picky, had they had an entire season to practice for cross country, how much better would their times have been?
Much better.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would have been pretty burdensome to be able to, like, be able to do both at the same time, unless they were doing their runs after or before the soccer practices, even if it wasn't necessarily with us. But they had games nonstop, it seemed like. So it was going to be a tough tell to do that.
Well, just even realizing the conditioning aspects of it. So mostly in soccer, you're basically sprinting. You know what I'm saying? You got your sprints and you're kind of retreating in that regard. But in cross country, you're going the distance. There are no true sprints, I guess, in that. So what kind of adjustment do you think it even is for those players to kind of make, where all of a sudden, again, you're having those spurts and all of a sudden you're running, you know, 3 miles?
Well, they would be the best ones to answer that one. But I think it's more so the type of conditioning they did going into soccer season seemed like it would have been similar to what we would have been doing. But during season, since they have so many games, they're not going to be conditioning like that. They're just going to be preparing for games and then playing games. So it'll be a lot more sprints and stuff along those lines. But it's still soccer. You're still being active pretty nonstop. So that's why it's always a good, like, segue into cross country, just because it's similar in that aspect, at least. They're cardiovascularly constantly going similarly.
So how much time would it have taken that specific group to be ready for a run at the state meet?
Oh man, that's a hard question. The longer the better. There is no like, okay,
so not 3 months, 2 months.
If you're 3 months out from this race, I can get you in peak performance. It's it's always cross country is one of those things you're always going to be able to get better based on how much time that you have and how many years you put in. It's building those slow twitch muscles that are going to be what end up carrying you for an entire career versus just 1 year at a time or just one sport at a time.
So I know it's been a long time. You played two sports.
I played three. Yeah, basketball, baseball, and cross.
So how was it going from, I guess, cross country to basketball, then to baseball? How were those transitions?
Going from cross country to basketball was super easy. I mean, conditioning was a breeze. And then for baseball, generally, it's nothing compared to even basketball. I was a twig in high school, so I feel like that the main thing was whether or not I was going to be tiny or if I was going to be able to put any muscle.
But you ran all the time anyway, right? You were pretty much always running?
I would like to say yeah, but the reality is I mostly trained during cross season.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't get too serious about training until college. And even then, I didn't do it super well until my junior year, going into my junior year.
So there is I guess this will answer this question, and I'll go a long way around this. If you want to be a spectacular cross-country runner, do you have to specify?
Like a sport?
Yeah, pick one. I mean, I'm just saying, you say, I'm going to pick cross over soccer. I'm going to pick soccer over cross. If I want to be that good of an athlete, do you have to choose one sport?
No.
Or can you make yourself pretty good at any sport?
No, sports like soccer, basketball, even football, you're working all your lateral movements, and that's actually super helpful in cross for preventing injuries. So all your straight cross-country runners, and they battle a lot of those types of injuries because they don't do any lateral movements. So all their muscle imbalances are a little wacky. So if you throw in those other sports, it really helps with that. And on top of that, cross-country, you can do, as long as you're willing to put in the time and effort, you can do it after soccer, you can do it before, you can have whatever you want to do.
Extra 25 minutes a day. We've talked about, though, here on the show, I don't know if our kids understand or high school kids understand what it takes to be a college athlete. Would you say 2 hours per day of training versus what they're already getting would be enough? I'm talking about 2 hours plus whatever you guys do to be ready for the college level.
I mean, it's hard to say how every college, like I feel like there's certain standards set at certain levels of play at college. So if you're going D1, you're going to be expecting to put in at least 3 hours of practice per day because you're going to have around 2 hours of your running workouts, and that you have tons of drills before and after that take up most of the time, not even just the workout. And then you have, like for us, we would come back in the afternoon and do weights or some other sort of plyometric exercises. So there's usually 2 days. So you're doing 6 a.m. practices, 4 p.m. practices, and then you go dinner and all that kind of stuff. So you have that level, and then I can't say much more as far as, like, if you're going, like, NAIA or Division III or any of those types of schools, they may only have morning practices or stuff like that.
I know, at least for, like, Lindsey Wilson, where Megan wins, those guys, even their golf team, they were at 6 a.m. workouts, mm-hmm. weights, all the morning trainings,
yep.
their afternoon practices, and then their evening sessions. They usually had 3 sessions per day, regardless of sport down there. So, I mean, I think it's, I always say NAIA versus D1, like for some sports, it's some of the, like basketball, size. Mm-hmm. Football, it's just size. If you're a smaller player, you can go here and play and be successful. D1's just a little bit bigger athlete. Not better, just a size difference on those schools. But I think the work ethic, I think, is really big now at the college level, regardless NAIA or Division I,
yeah,
I think.
It also depends a lot on the coach, too. Cause like
That's correct.
I had a coaching transition while I was at Murray, and the new coach ended up, you had to have a diet log. You had to have a workout log when you weren't at school actually practicing. So So you had all these extra things that were also built in because that coach had different types of expectations and stuff like that. So there's a whole there's
and
a
you
lot
can't
of
cheat
ways.
It because it'll show up regardless, right?
It will eventually show, yeah.
Right. Anyway, that after that little segment, I'll just kind of –
Well, I wanted to ask him this, as far as, like, even with these soccer players kind of coming out, how does that conversation even begin? Are they approaching you? Are you approaching the soccer players? Like, how does that – how do they become, I guess, a part of the cross-country team?
Well, James and I and Julie have – we were talking with Bernie for during the summer, trying to see if some of the soccer kids come out for some of our conditioning to get them ready for soccer. And just – I think some of them maybe came out a few times during that time period. And then once soccer season started, it was kind of, it was like I said, their schedules are crazy. Lots of games, all that kind of stuff. So it was going to be, it was hard to be able to combine them in any sort of way. And so we, and last year we did the exact same thing. So it was kind of which kids wanted to come out postseason. All right, we'll go ahead and put them on our roster. And then as soon as soccer was over, those kids started coming out.
So now, like, I know a lot of the schools in our area, when they first started cross country, it was like, the basketball coach, guys, you're running cross country. That's going to be your preseason conditioning. That's probably the wrong way to use cross country, I think. It's just, but you have to want to do that. Not just for to get better for a different sport. I don't think that's the reason you get good at cross country. But I think it's probably changed a little bit since years ago. Now it's more kids are dedicated to cross country.
I would like to say that was true, but I didn't really have much of a team until the soccer kids came out. So I don't have I think numbers are an issue for cross country in general. I think the total number of participants in cross country went up when COVID happened. That was like one of the good sports that could, you know, social distance while competing. But I think those numbers are slowly going back down now that all the ball sports are back.
Is that a Powell County thing or is it a norm?
I think it's a pretty much a norm because it was kind of on that route going into COVID. And what helped with us is like kind of starting at the elementary level and trying to get kids more involved at a younger age and then into the middle school and then into high school. And that definitely helped us. But it does seem like we have in a little bit of a transition period where we still have a lot of young kids, but not necessarily older kids.
Tell us a little bit about now the team, the individual, the soccer. We've talked about the soccer guys or soccer career enough. Now let's talk about the cross country kids that you had. Boys and girls, right, this year? Or you didn't have enough girls for a team, correct?
We had a few girls that were running. Amelia ran for half the season. We had Anna for mostly. She kind of mostly did middle school, so she's a seventh grader that she ran up to high school once. JC also ran middle school, high school. She was also doing swim I guess Powell County has a swim team now. No?
Swim clubs.
Swim club.
Down
that's
the
right.
road.
That's mm-hmm. right. Okay, so that's what she was also doing. So she's trying to do two sports at the same time, so that was kind of hard. And then we also had Susie. She's been running for us the past few years. And then I'm trying to think, who am I leaving out here? I think that's for the most part who we had. Pretty much it. Eli King was there for one race, but then he transferred schools. That's pretty much it for the most part.
So the girls, I guess, they do any of them do well individually for the.
Yeah,
region?
No, I mean, especially for their age groups. I mean, they were all running up with high schoolers as seventh graders, so they were doing really well. I think it was just a little bit of a shock to be racing against older kids as well as competing at in a 5K race versus the 3K that they've been used to. But I think they're all going to do really well once they get moved up, so it'll be good.
Okay, now this group going forward that qualified for the – I guess they ran regionals to qualify for state.
Yeah.
So tell us about that and then what the kids are you have.
Yeah, so going into region, we barely got our five runners. There was trying to figure out who was going to show up and who who wasn't. So we ended up having a solid group of five guys that showed up race day. Some of them had gotten at least a few practices in. Some of them, I think maybe two of them showed up day of or 2 days before. And so we were like, okay, well, we just need five people to finish. So as long as five people finish the race, we'll have a team score and we'll have a chance to at least be able to compete at state as a team. And so five showed up race day. They killed it. It's a deceivingly hard course. It's a two-lap course that has one pretty decent-sized hill and then, like, some really odd, uneven ground towards the back that kind of makes it difficult to run on. And we got restructured. Our region got restructured. So we had some more competitive teams in our region. I think it was Harlan won it easy, boys and girls. And then I'm trying to think who the other ones were. Maybe Morgan was on there. There was a couple other teams that were on there that we weren't necessarily used to racing against, because I believe previous years, I mean, they won it last year coming out, just like this year. But this time we barely got in.
So how many teams qualified?
Five. It's based off of total teams that are registered, not who actually show up on the line. So I think 11 teams registered, and then they take five. Is that right? Three? I think that was right. Six? Okay. Yeah.
They take individuals as well, right?
Yeah. After the teams are all taken out, all the team rosters that made it, then it goes on top five finishers.
So I guess that's similar to the golf, what golf does as far as how they get to state.
Yeah.
Where was the region?
At Morgan.
It was at Morgan. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
where did they run up there?
So it starts on their football field, and you'll go out around the track, and then you go out behind some houses and then make a big loop down.
So it's like almost in the city.
No, it's like literally, it's all right next to the school right there. It's all on, like, you start on that turf field, and you're just doing this like loop out by the school and back pretty much. But it's a two lap course, so they get it in there. It's a 5K. It's not too. It doesn't require that much space.
So as far as Harlan, you'd mentioned them. Are they a team that you would consider to be dominant in cross country? You know, they have a history in that regard, or was that just basically the first time you'd kind of seen them? And
when as far I was as competition? In high school, they were dominant. Yeah. Okay. Usually regions was always won by either Harlan or Letcher every year. It seemed like that was usually the two teams.
But they're on a mountain.
Yeah, right?
A lot of hills, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Something about they're able to get a lot of athletes. That's the cross country for us has always been about getting numbers.
Two big schools. Yeah. Right? They're almost, I think, Letcher's 900. Harlan's probably closer to 1,000.
Somewhere around there. Yeah. So they've always just had solid teams. They not necessarily always had like the fastest runner or anything like that individually, but this time the Harlan County kid did kill it. He ran a really good time, and he finished well. He finished pretty well at state too, so that was good to see.
So how do we fare with the state level competition? I know other sports that we have don't normally fare well at state competition.
Not very well, to be honest. Like I said, I can't have high expectations for a team that ran for literally a week prior to.
Well, I'm just talking about the region in general.
So the region in general, not that well, to be honest. Our region got better this year, like I said, and so they, like I said, throwing those other few teams in definitely made it a little bit more competitive. But you're still going to be, you still have like the Lexington schools. Thomas Nelson was a big one on there. I think Corbin ended up coming out on top. There's definitely some really good schools.
But I know some of those teams, though, when you're talking about those, I can remember back years ago when cross country got started, because that makes me pretty old, right? Some of those schools that you're talking about, those started out with their basketball kids. They were some of those people that you're running cross country to prep for basketball season. And I think maybe kids fall in love with running and just stick with it. And that becomes their norm, and then season starts. So then they're really, it's almost a perfect transition into basketball.
Yeah.
It's
just a different sport altogether.
Yeah.
So, like, even if you enjoy playing basketball and stuff, you could just not end up doing well and you don't excel at it, maybe you're more, you can compete better, you have the different mindset for cross country. And then all that's kind of got what got me hooked is the fact that I was starting to be able to compete well, and that's what made me want to excel in it. So there's always that too. I mean, it's just a totally different sport than compared to a ball sport.
So who are the players that actually ended up competing in the region and who actually qualified for state?
On our team?
Yes.
So all five of them that competed qualified for state because it was a full team score that got them in. But we got Axel, Tucker, Landon, Garrett, and Nate. Thanks, Brenny.
So as far as, like, team score, is that the collective time, you know, by each individual, and you add that together, and that becomes your score? How does the scoring work?
It's based off placement. So whatever place you get, you're just adding that number up.
Like 14th and 23rd or whatever?
Yeah, and then whatever the lowest score wins. So, so typically if you have a group that finishes all in the top 20, you'll probably be pretty good or whatever.
So the all five scores, all five times count or just four?
Five. Yeah, five count, seven can run. So you can have seven runners compete, but only the top five count. If there's a tie, it goes to the sixth runner, and then another tie.
So you knew going in, though, we got five, and those five got to they're going to count.
They have to finish. So, yeah, that's what I said. All of you have to finish. Axel's battling some knee issues, and I was like, just finish. It's all we need. Try your best and finish.
So now going forward, what's the time frame now going forward as far as state competition?
Meaning beyond the meet, the state meet?
Yeah, correct, yes.
I mean, we're done for our season, but there's two national meets usually. They'll go to regional. Nike Cross Regionals is the next meet. That's an invite meet, so you have to, you know, run a certain time in order to get invited to that. And then there's also like a anyone can compete at nationals type of meet. You can like be part of the Kentucky team, I guess. I'm not sure what dates those are, but that's generally where it's at. Nike Cross is the most competitive. That's where that's like on live TV and stuff like that.
But you're kind of a travel big time deal, right?
Yeah, so that's usually seen? Like, I think we're the Southeast division, and they usually go to like North Carolina or something like that.
So when does your season start back next year? When will you start back up?
We'll start with training late June, I believe, just before dead period, and then dead period hit, and then we'll full on right after dead period usually.
So tough. It's that makes cross country kind of tough because you need probably two or three good months of training prior to, and you're not going to be able to ever get that, right?
All year you need it. Especially the summer is where you get your most gains. So whatever amount of work you can put in over the summer will get you that much further during cross. Is generally the idea. Even in college, that's usually the mindset.
So basically a 5-month window for yourself, right?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
How many meets are held during a season?
I usually like to race every 2 weeks. So generally starting, I think my first race was mid-August, something like that. So about 6 to 8 meets or so.
For the season? Like
yeah. Do you have to have so many meets in before you qualify?
Nope, that's a new rule. Yeah, you can just show up to regions and race. You don't even have to race all year if you want.
Yeah, I think that. I don't know if I like that rule or not. I think
the competitive teams, it doesn't make a difference because they're going to want some of their kids to at least compete a few times. It helps us obviously when we need numbers. And so I used to think it was kind of like, oh man, you're gonna keep a kid out most of the season just to keep him fresh and then race him like two races and that's it. I don't think a lot of schools are doing that because like I think it's best to get him acclimated to racing at least a little bit.
I mean, to me, running in practice is different than running against 45 or 50 or more people on the line, right? It's just you got to figure it out before you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
So how young can somebody be to be a part of, obviously, not necessarily a varsity high school team, but how young can somebody be to run cross country?
Seventh graders can run up.
Okay.
So, yeah, you got to be in seventh grade or up in order to compete at the varsity level.
As far as elementary age kids, are they competing against other elementary school kids? If I'm in fourth grade or something? Am I competing against fourth graders? How does that even work getting down that low?
It's usually just elementary. So it doesn't necessarily break down per grade. It's usually based off of, like, you have an elementary race and then a middle school race and then a high school slash or JV race or something.
But they're all run jointly?
No, all separate races. And generally, depending on the numbers in those races, they'll either run in combined, men and women, or they'll separate them. Usually, most of the regular season meets, they'll keep them combined because they're smaller meets. But regions, state, that's all separated by gender as well.
So as far as even the meets going back to elementary, middle, and high, are they run the same night, just at different times?
Yeah, generally.
Okay.
We host our meet a little bit. Most of the time, they are together. But we like to split them up into 2 days just for making it easier for us. But, yeah, we'll have, like, a Tuesday high school only, and then Thursday we'll do, like, elementary, middle school.
What, 30, 45 minutes? We'll get it pretty much always get it done?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, I mean, the younger kids, it's faster for sure because, I mean, the elementary kids are running a mile, and that's done pretty quick. And the middle school kids, generally 1.8 to 2 miles, something like that.
So 15 minutes probably going to always get them too.
Yeah, I mean, you have some fluctuations there, but yeah, for the most of the kids, yeah.
All right. I know you said you had to leave, right? So we've got, put all those questions in one segment, so thanks for coming in, Mark.
Yeah,
we'll
appreciate it.
We'll get over to Axel in a moment, but we'll take a step away for take a break here on PCSN Live.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. This is Dave Fulton along with Ken Simon. And again, we want to thank Mark Ventura. He's the assistant cross-country coach with Julie Clark. And Mark has a lot of really good experience as far as running and other sports as well. So how does Mark work as a coach versus that guy?
My brother Bernie, it's really just soccer stuff. If you're talking about conditioning, I mean, it's more explosive on the soccer field, right? Like you've said, I mean, it's a lot of sprinting. And on cross country, it's all long distance, right? Like pacing yourself for the race because you don't just sprint the whole way, you know, obviously. But, I feel like it's more long distance on cross country and it's a lot more intense. It's more like interval type training. We do some interval type training too on the soccer team, but we do a lot more top sprints, top stuff, and like plyometrics.
Your interval stuff should work for the entire season, get you ready for the entire game, and that's when you're down to what, the last 3 minutes, does it bother you? So a mix is almost you have to have a mix of both long and sprints.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like football runs, they play a while, but it's like 5 seconds and stop.
Yeah.
You guys are like at least 2 or 3 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And sometimes even more than that. So if you're trying to really push the offense, you guys are moving quite a bit.
Yeah.
And the defense is working, you can take a little break, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we just have to – it's a lot of quick breaks. I mean, it's quick breaks, like, right? You get to run in for, like, 2 or 3 minutes, like you said. And there'll be games where you'll be running the entire game because it's just quick counterattacks from the other team. You know, you sprint up the field, make an attempt to score, and then immediately they turn it over and you playing defense like that, right? And, you know.
So how much pride was it to – go run cross country and try to beat your soccer buddies?
Well, I didn't beat them, so.
Well, try to beat them, I said.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was a lot. There's a lot of pride in that. I mean, I know there's our best runner, Landon. He takes pride in being the best out of all of the soccer players, which I mean, he's really helpful. He was a main reason why we qualified for state, and I mean, we have everybody ran a sub 24-minute 5K. I was the slowest one. I was 23:47, I think. But I had some knee injuries that didn't allow me to train for the whole week and a half before regions, right? So I went to one, and then I got hurt, and then I tried to recover as quick as I possibly could, and then run regions and then state.
So did you have some knee injuries at the end of soccer season?
More at the beginning of soccer season. That's why it was hard to stay in shape because during conditioning, my knees had been messed up and I had to take a break from running and, you know, all those leg workouts and stuff. So it was more upper body top stuff and it was just hard to stay in shape. I couldn't really run, you know.
So you do the two sports. You don't do any other sports as far as
no
that you play. What would you do now for an off season to prep? I guess first would be soccer or – soccer will become first next year, or at the same time, it's hard for you guys. So how will you prep from here out? Will you try to rehab your knees, get those? Obviously, that'll have to come first, I guess.
Yeah.
And then kind of go from there. What will you do in the offseason?
I'm working out right now. I just got a membership to the gym. I'm going to start working on that. Obviously, I'm going to go to the doctor for my knee, see what's wrong. And once I get all that fixed, I'll start running. There's things I can do like boxing. I've been doing that a lot lately to get myself, because that's a big cardio workout,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that a lot, and that's my main goal right now, just to box, because, I mean, it's hard. It really is on your conditioning. I feel like that'll keep my endurance pretty high, you know.
We actually commented a few times during soccer season that we would see a team like a Johnson Central
mm-hmm.
come in who was bigger
yeah.
and more physical. We struggled against some of those teams. So what you're talking about is doing stuff that I think that our soccer team has to do to be able to compete with some of those guys. I don't know how Bernie feels about that question, but you know what I'm saying though, right? So
even football, we've talked about even football.
Yeah. Have to.
The football team has to get stronger during the off season in order to compete. And the same thing, you know, in soccer, obviously, when you're going against a Johnson Central, more physical along those lines, you're going to have to counter. Not you can't use your speed, but you're still going to have to be able to take that bump off of somebody yeah. in order to keep your balance and continue to push the ball forward.
I just watch our team like you and you guys that ran. Usually it's probably the smaller guys on the soccer team.
Yeah.
So you're also, the quickest. Now, Did Crow run as well?
No, he didn't.
Okay. But he's just kind of the same build that you guys are. I think for you guys, man, upper body strength would be major for you guys in the offseason. Obviously, your legs get stronger, but I think upper body to be able to compete with some, because it is a very physical sport. People don't realize how physical soccer is.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, like you said, teams like Johnson Central, they had some pretty built players on their team, and it was hard to go against that kind of aggression that comes with that strength, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep those players, you know, at a controlled.
Oh, even in when we talk about our district, Jackson City has a couple of, 6'2", 6'3", kids? Yeah. Well, but, I mean, they were a major difference for that team.
Yeah.
And I think the size was really a major factor for them.
I think one of them was 6'5".
6'5"? Yeah. The one on the defensive side? Yeah. I mean, those guys made a – I didn't realize how much impact a big kid played in soccer until I watched your guys' season. I could compare it. We don't have any really big guys.
No. I mean, yeah, whenever a guy like that's defending the ball, you know, standing between you and the ball or you and the goal, it's kind of hard to get around that whenever they're just putting their whole body in front of you, you know.
Yeah, they take away that vision, don't they? They take that away because of their body being in front of you, but then that goes back to that speed and quickness to try and quickly dribble around them, and hopefully the footwork keeps them at bay and gives you that advantage.
Yeah, I thought we were a lot quicker in soccer than some other – I'm not meaning to turn this to a soccer show, but I thought we were a lot quicker than a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm.
But they were – some of them were just stronger than us, and it kind of counterbalanced for them.
Yeah.
And at the end, whenever you played Jackson City in that game, you don't really talk about, but they had a really perfect game plan, and I think their defenders played exceptional. Mm-hmm. To be able to stop you guys and just jam everything up where you couldn't do what you wanted to do.
Yes, it was tough, especially in that district final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. And, I mean, it's Wolf County, too. They defended us pretty well, too.
I was impressed with Wolf County's the strategy they had. It was all about defense. It was never about any really offense at all. It was 100% defense.
Yeah, I mean, we had
almost worked. I thought you all was definitely the superior team. He's trying to get me convinced over on the defensive side. I like a lot of offense. I don't like a lot of leakouts, but that seems like that's what a lot of teams are doing, trying to just get the runouts.
But in general, we talk about this all the time. Defense wins championship. Pick any sport. If you can stop somebody and score just enough, right, doesn't matter in soccer if it's 1-0, if your defense is there and you're able to stop them, then at that point you have, you know, the advantage. And that's obviously what Wolf and Jackson City were able to do as far as step up their defense, because that's not how they played during the regular season.
No.
Right?
Well, I mean,
only when it got to the
first Wolf game, they may have played like that, but I didn't see the first game. The second game was just a blowout here, right? Mm-hmm. But, anyway, we'll get back.
Let me ask you this question. We'll go segue back to cross country. So, obviously, cross country soccer completely different mindset, everything. So, how was it for you to get in a cross country situation mentally, realizing you're going distance now? How was it for you when you're, because it's you basically against yourself, kind of, and obviously the course, but still, like mentally, how was it that grind, knowing that you have more distance to go, more distance? How do you maintain that focus and make that transition?
Well, I mean, I just try to do the best that I can do. And cross country is probably the most difficult sport I've ever tried, right? I mean, I've ran 5Ks by myself. I ran it with the soccer team, and running it with against the soccer team for like a conditioning and running a cross country meet are two completely different things. I mean, the intensity for a meet is just so much more.
It's all mental.
Yeah.
Well, not all mental, but it's...
Yeah, it really is.
It's a lot of mental stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, just how hard are you willing to push, really?
Right.
I mean, for you're competing for something, right? I mean, you have a team, and every place, every position matters, right? I mean, if you can get one place higher, that counts.
And that could be the difference for qualifying and not qualifying, right? It can be that close to going on to the next level.
So, I asked Mark this, how much better could you be if you didn't do soccer and you just did cross country? Do you think you would be like a sub-18 or a 19 minute?
Well, I mean, I feel like anybody can really get to a sub-18. I mean, as long as you're really willing to put in the work and how long you're willing to do it for. But I'd definitely run a lot better. But you know,
you love soccer too,
yeah,
right?
Soccer. Yeah.
Now what he's also said. How difficult would it be to put the extra, you practice for what, 2 hours a night when you practice? So then you'd have to take a break, I guess, then what, run another 2 miles maybe to catch up? Would it be?
Oh, there's four. They practice for four.
Yeah. We run 4 miles collectively every practice for cross country.
Oh, you have to run 4 miles?
Collectively, yeah.
For the, what is it, 2.3? Is that, what is it?
3.1.
3.1, yeah.
Well, and even in soccer, I don't think most people even realize the distance that's covered by soccer players. It doesn't matter if it's the high school level or even going all the way up to collegiate and professional. You're going anywhere from 4 to 10 miles, and I get that there's a lot of sprints, but when you're going those 2 and 3 minutes just kind of nonstop, I mean, your conditioning has to be there, and you're running miles.
Have you ever done Fitbits or anything to see how many steps or miles you get in a?
No, I never have. But
have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen anybody do that?
I have, and during a scrimmage, I think I ran 5 miles.
5 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean in 80.
Nothing compared to how much they run. I take longer breaks. So I'm old.
Yeah, and I mean, what is 20 minutes of a 5K compared to an 80-minute game, soccer game?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's tough.
So are you just as tired after the run as your other soccer game?
I'd say I'm probably a lot more tired after the cross country meet because, I mean, you know how to pace yourself. And once you know how to pace yourself, you know you have to be, I mean, basically dead at the end of that 5K, right? Or else you didn't do your job right, you know?
So yes, the pacing part is, yes. How do you figure that out in that week?
Yeah.
It's hard. It really is. Especially against those, like, big competitions with, like, 300, 200 people. It's hard because you have to place good in that first 100 yards. You know, it's kind of like a sprint, and it's tough.
To get the lead, right? Yeah, you won't get out in front. You don't want all that traffic.
Yeah, definitely not, because then it slows down. And, I mean, at that point, you're basically walking on those sharp turns. But, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I didn't pace myself very, very well in either of the races for regions and state.
But that's where it takes the extra training to figure out what your paces are to get there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where the time part comes into what we were talking about.
So mentally, mentally as you're past the halfway point and, you know, you're kind of going, what's your mindset like? What are you thinking about along those lines in order to, obviously your body's starting to fatigue.
Yeah.
What's your mindset like, though, to keep pushing yourself to keep getting closer? Are you looking at markers on the track, you know what I'm saying, kind of gauge like where you are?
I mean, it's all self-taught, right? I mean, it's all mental. I've, in my opinion, it's all mental, because whenever you're really in the deep end, whenever your legs are hurting, whenever you're getting nauseous, I mean, how much are you willing to push, right? You just got to keep going. Just not try not to think about the pain. I mean, you have your team counting on you to get a good spot, and you just got to push yourself.
So would you ever consider, knowing your cross-country experience, would you ever consider doing a marathon? Would you ever go the 26, you know, 0.1 or whatever it even is?
If I had a few years of training, yeah, but yeah. Definitely not.
And it would be tough, right? Yeah. Obviously, I mean, just even the transition for yourself to just even go from soccer to cross-country, that transition, yet alone to have to turn around and potentially, you know, consider doing 26 miles and going back to what Coach Ventura was saying as far as, like, even with that. You would literally, and you alluded to right then, you would need years of practice in order to prepare for a marathon.
I don't know if you need years to run a marathon. You need years to be competitive in a marathon.
Yeah. True. Yeah. You know.
I mean, we see people that actually go do marathons that are walking the marathon versus being competitive. So these cats are too young. They're going to be competitive if they did something like that. So it would take some time to get there.
So is this something that you would consider even doing next year at the end of soccer season? Would you transition back to cross country?
Yeah, for sure. That's the main reason why I'm working as hard as I am right now, to try to get my endurance up, to try to keep myself in good shape so that I have that 9 months of prior to the season work, you know, because I don't want to just start from zero. Like, I don't want the first day of conditioning to be the first time I start running.
But if you took a month off right now, it wouldn't hurt anything at all. Your body also has to have time, a chance to heal.
Yeah.
So once you go through long seasons, I think people forget sometimes that our bodies, when you're young, you beat it to death, and you want to keep beating it to death, only to get old and suffer.
Yeah.
But you got to take breaks to heal before you can build.
Yeah.
Or that's at least my opinion anyway.
Yeah, and I do, but I mean, I'm not doing a whole lot right now. Like I said, I'm still trying to figure out what's wrong with my knee, so there's not a whole lot I can do.
But the boxing, though, is different, and it gets different muscles ready, and it overall will help you. I mean, even like trying to jump rope and the boxing, any athletic thing that you do helps you in a different way.
Yeah.
So if you stay active, active is the main word. If you're active, you're fine, even if you swim. Have you ever considered doing the ice baths?
I don't know. It's tough. That is all mental right there. That,
well, I mean,
that's all it is.
I'm just saying, well, people are really saying those things are like magic now. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
as far as healing your body.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some articles with football players that ice bath every night, and it says that it adds 5 or 6 years to their careers. I don't think we really have anybody trying to do that to recover, but I just wonder how much that is a thing as far as higher level athletics.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think these guys, these real big time athletes, I think they're making too much money. I mean, if it adds 5 years, that's,
well, they're doing it at the college
100
level.
Million.
We already know they're doing
right.
it at UK as the example.
Well,
right?
Yeah, anyway,
it,
right?
Well, I'm just saying it, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, those guys are getting in the ice tubs. For sure.
And it's probably not fun.
No, definitely not.
Oh no, it would have to, like he alluded, you know, like he said, at that point it is a mental game.
Yeah.
As soon as you're putting that first foot in there, you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have to make that mental adjustment that my body's going to adjust to this temp.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this, and I'm going to talk about both of them again. I had a blast watching your all soccer season this year.
Agreed.
So don't let you leave before I tell you all. It was really fun to cover soccer this year, watching you guys. I thought you over excelled. Had kids come out late that did spectacular for just coming out. Like Kyle Nickel was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
For what, sure. 2 weeks of...
Two, something like that.
I mean, I don't know how you do that, but, you know, Brendan Bush is playing this season, I think.
Yeah.
Those kids did tremendous. So, I know you had a lot of seniors, and I talk about that group too. Maybe Bernie can allude to it in a minute, but the intelligence of that group, as far as GPA wise, do you think you'll ever have a group better than that group?
Probably not.
I mean, man, are those guys are like they're topping out the GPAs, man. It's just all those seniors. I mean, it's they're going to be missed for me just because they're great kids. Don't know if you can find better leadership group. How much of those seniors going to be missed from your all's team next year?
All of them, every bit of them. I mean, even some of them that didn't play, where they were still helping from the bench. You know, they would be telling our defense, drop back, watch this player, do this, do that. You know, everybody helped, everybody, and the energy from each and every one of them was what kept us alive. I mean, they contributed a lot more than you would think.
So going forward with soccer, what are y'all gonna look like next year?
Well, based off of our not last season, but the year before that, my sophomore year, we weren't the best, and this year we were a lot better. But I think that's thanks to our coaches, really. I think we're only getting better, only getting better. I feel like it's only up from here.
Yeah, what I said this all year, this group is probably a year ahead of what you expected to be there. Now it's expected to be there. No pressure, Bernie. I just think this group has got, you got a good core group coming back. I think the sky's the limit with your team.
Yeah.
Going forward, when we talk about cross country, if you guys just focused on cross country, I think you would be an awesome cross country team.
Yeah.
I mean, I that's how athletic you guys, because I don't think anybody that ran was either the seniors, right?
No.
All the underclassmen?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Even better.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I really think
better,
that group
sure.
has a lot of potential, and I think that shows the work ethic of at least this group. Some of the other groups I'm seeing at the high school, I don't think have that work ethic. Why do you think that is that some of the kids don't want to work hard when you guys are?
Well, I mean, it's just the people that's around them and our coaches, really. I mean, we have Bernie, we have Coach Gillespie, Coach Barry, and they just push us. They push us, and they're really helpful. I mean, I feel like that's who really keeps us wanting to get better and wanting to work harder. I mean, it's just not everybody has that, right? I mean, even the people you go home to, right? Not everybody has a support system that we have. I mean, this is like a brotherhood right here.
Now, how can you transition that? I know there's kids walking the halls that could help your team. How do you get that to those kids?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of new players that came out this season, this past season, that nobody would have ever thought have played soccer. And now that they have, I feel like that's what's been getting the word out. There's a lot of kids that want to play now, a lot.
So the interest is high right now?
Yeah.
So you got to jump on it. Jump now, because it's not always that easy.
True.
I'm talking a little bit to Bernie right here, because I'm watching, like, I mean, I coach softball, and I'm watching the kids, like, at the middle school level, it's nobody's playing.
Yeah.
And if there's nobody playing, then there's nobody coming up, and that makes it really difficult to play. So you got to keep the interest up, and you got to keep fresh people coming in. If not, you just lose the program. And yeah. You don't want to build something this quick and lose it
yeah.
the same way.
Which, I mean, as soon as somebody plays soccer, I mean, this is a beautiful sport. It's beautiful. As soon as somebody plays it, they love it. They fall in love with it like that. I mean, it's easy.
I've said that for I've been a soccer fan for, well, years, decades, to be honest with you.
I'm becoming a soccer fan, big time.
It is a great sport. I think that it's almost like a chess match.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, it's back and forth, and there's a lot of strategy involved that people don't realize. You're just thinking, oh, there's kicking the ball around. No, there's, you know, some, what am I looking for? You know, methodology to the madness, kind of, right? You know, when you're making those passes and you have that vision being the midfielder, you know, taking that, and all of a sudden it's just like, okay, I'm seeing him running out of my corner. I'm going left and going across as opposed to going down the line. And when you have that vision and you keep them guessing where you're actually going with that, I mean, it's a great sport, no doubt. Let me say this real quick. I got to get this in for Julie Clark, the head coach. She wants to say a huge thank you to Coach Bernie and Coach Gillespie for sharing their athletes with the cross-country team. They have some great kids, and they have a bright future. She's hoping next year they can have better scheduling to where you guys can run a meet or two before region. So there you go.
And the issue with that is, and I agree with her 100%, but for the soccer team to be as good as they're going to be, they have to continue to do what they do first, and hope they do well wherever they go. That's a sad reality. It's awesome that coaches help coaches. That's what we need to share. But it's also difficult when the coaches have got to, I got to take care of mine first. I'm going to let them share you, but we still got to take care of our own. It's hard to do. There's a really fine line. Because he wants to be as good as he can be, but he also... they also want them to be as good as they can be for them. So it's a tough one to call, but you're exactly right. So we'll step away for a heck, we're out of time.
Step away. We'll have to come back regardless.
We've got to come back and clear some other things up, but I want to thank Bernie and – oh, phew.
Can you hear?
I can now. I'd like to thank Bernie and Axel for coming in. Represent, I guess, both soccer and cross-country.
Coach Ventura as well.
And Mark. So we'll let them guys go. We'll close out in a minute. But, again, thanks for coming. Back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
Hearn Funeral Home has been family-owned since 1939 and is currently under the direction of Hondo Hearn. They have proudly served the families of Powell County and other surrounding counties for over 75 years, helping them to celebrate with compassionate care, dignity, and respect at an affordable price. Contact Hearn Funeral Home for all your pre-planning needs at 606-663-4375.
You want to save money and Appalachian Wireless gets that. Right now, you can get up to $650 off select devices, including the latest and the greatest on the Advantage Unlimited plan with a trade-in. Did y'all hear me? Up to $650 off select devices, including the latest and greatest with a trade-in. Now, I'm not a math whiz, but this deal, it's amazing. And you'll be on the region's premier network. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless. See AppalachianWireless.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Allen's Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
All right, welcome back here to PCSN Live. Again, we'd like to thank our guest tonight. We got Coach Mark Ventura and also soccer coach Bernie Vasquez, who brought his brother Axel. We just kind of turned it into a soccer slash cross country.
These guys were soccer players and transitioned successful
and we didn't
cross country.
Talk to them about soccer, so we just kind of made it a mix tonight. So again, thank those guys for coming in. We did run a little long. Again, thank our sponsors for that. And we would, upcoming schedule wise, would like to announce that we will be doing the middle school championship game tomorrow night, 8:30. That will be on Facebook audio only. Facebook Live.
Yeah. It'll be Facebook Live with audio, obviously. On radio will be Estill County. They're at Rock Castle in the playoffs. So
they'll be Facebook Live and radio on their end.
Correct.
It will be Facebook Live. So you can watch the game tomorrow night. The game time is 8:30 at Kentucky Christian College in Grayson. So we'll probably have our time around 8 o'clock. There's a seventh grade game, I think, before that one. So just tune in tomorrow night on Facebook Live here on WSKV. We'll have the broadcast for you tomorrow night. Again, championship game between Powell County and Mason County for the eighth grade championship.
And then David will be back on the air next Wednesday. PCSN Live. I will not be here, and then we'll do PCSN Live all month with the exception of Thanksgiving.
That's about 3 weeks away for Thanksgiving.
And then at the end of the month, actually, we'll have our first basketball game.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
The boys on the 28th.
So stay tuned here to WSKV for all your needed sports stuff. Thanks for listening tonight.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranteed Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.